Okay, that's better. Hello, everybody. Once again, this is Douglas Newsome, the Cosmic Poet. I thank you all for showing up. This past week, I've been very, very busy trying to get all the archives up. I only have the archives of one more show to put up later. So if you are a fan of any one particular show, and we have lots to choose from, please go to the archives. This time I did a little something extra. I actually coded in some information on the guests. So instead of just going there and going, oh, archive date, and not knowing much about the show, now everybody can find out a lot more about the show before they click into the archive. So that took a lot of extra work, but it's done, and I'm excited, and the pages have been coded in correctly, and I think that, everybody should go and check them out. I've got some beautiful shows. And when I go through the archives, I have to re-listen to most of the shows, whether it's converting the file to the proper format and, balancing the sound, making sure that a lot of the hiss noise is out of it. I have to go and listen to these archives, and every time I do, I'm always amazed by the enormous amount of talent on our network. And when I mean enormous, there are some shows here that really take you to a level of understanding with real knowledge, understanding with real peace. And it's really tough for knowledge in and of itself to bring one peace. Which is going to be an interesting part of the show tonight, because I'm going to touch upon various understandings of what really is considered knowledge, per se, or IQ, or whether that's even important or not. But before I do that, I wanted to tell you that I had a wonderful week. My parents drove down from Washington State, my mother and my father, with my sister and my niece. We spent 4 days in beautiful weather and got a chance to reminisce about some of the old times my brother and I have had. And I always get excited to see my family well, or in this case, still around. So I love you, Mom and Dad. If you hear that, you're always with me, even now, and you just left. I read magazines from time to time and journals from time to time. I think it's important to go just keep the mind active. You don't need to read a book to keep the mind active. But sometimes it stimulates you into new topics. For example, today a lot of the people that are the reaching spiritual awakenings that are really linking into a knowledge that exists within subatomic particles, in some manner or form, just like everything you are exists within, one cell in your body or one atom, DNA molecule within your body. It's all there, and they access this information. They all have, even though they have all this information, they have access to the Book of Knowledge. Let's say you have the access to, I put a dictionary in front of you. You have access to knowledge, don't you? Somebody's still going to ask you the question, hey, what does random mean? And you pick up the dictionary and you look through it. You had access to that dictionary. Doesn't mean that the person that you're asking the question, he still has to seek out that answer, doesn't he? So that doesn't make it so mystical. If you had an IQ of a trillion, okay, you had facts were all at your disposal, would just be like having all the books at your disposal. They still have to go in there and retrieve it and pull it forth. So in that kind of respect, they like to be asked questions. So there's only so much each of us is desires to know. And then we go, whoa, what should we think about next? Unless you get thrown a curveball or something out in left field or maybe something out of the box, You generally don't go beyond your own understanding. So, that's one of the reasons. I was searching around the internet, and I wanted to pick a topic. Not a topic. But I wanted to do a little bit of research on what I never thought was important. And that's research on the idea of death through poetry. Sound crazy? I came up with that idea because in many ways I don't really feel there is death, and so I wanted to be shocked or moved in some way by the words of another person in what they felt the meaning of death was, or what they, maybe not even the meaning, but some sort of expression of death in their lives that they equated to or they equate with on a mental level. And some of the works I read were just astounding. Astounding. And I would like to share one of those works with you. This is the Cosmic Poet Show. And on the show, we read poems. And most of the poems I read come from a little link on BBS Radio called Authors Inkwell. And I encourage everybody to at least visit some of those works, because, I mean, some of them are beautiful. And post your own works, because I really need something to read. So, and I don't like to go outside of our website for works, because it really gives me insight into the people that are coming to the forum. And it's just like knowing your family, and I really want to know my family. This is a poem entitled, I Did Not Die. And it was written by Melinda Sue Paco. Do not stand at my grave and forever weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am 1,000 winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on snow. I am the sunlight on ripened grain. I am the gentle autumn's rain. When you awaken in the morning's hush, I am the swift, uplifting rush of quiet birds in circled flight. I am the soft stars that shine at night. Do not stand at my grave and forever cry. I am not there. I did not die. Beautiful words and imagery and expression. I like the meter. I like the rhyming scheme. I think it's one for the memory books. This poem is also about death. And since we're on that subject, I wanted to first go into the notion of fear a little bit. Because I think ultimately we fear death or harm, but everything leading to, you know, something that could harm us in a way that could stop our own continuation of expression. In a total sense, perhaps. Perhaps we feel that we can only express through our material frame in this world of physical dimensions, physicality. And I like to think of that as an errorism belief system. The idea that fear even exists kind of bothers me, because when I look at the people trying to seek higher understandings, they often find that they can only do that going within and meditating. And when you go in and you meditate long enough, you will feel things, you will see things. It's just like being on a hallucinogen. Eventually, but you're going to accept those things, and you're going to travel into those things, and you're going to explore those things within your mind. Whether it be a concept or a picture or a universe or a feeling. Or whatever it is, a nothingness, a total unityness, a every way you want to do it. But when you go and you seek higher highs in that fashion, you also feel almost a sense of foreboding of going to that next level, going beyond the darkness. How do I know this? Last show, fabulous, fabulous show. I would encourage everybody to go and listen to that show, because the topic, in part of it, mind you, the topic explored everything from A to Z, but Dr. Brandon, she explored the idea of fear, and I think she did a wonderful job, and she told, you know, why do we have to have that fear? And ultimately, she spoke of the foundation of that understanding through growing up as children, living in the environment, and they told us to be afraid. Well, has anybody ever told a person who meditates, be afraid because you're going to see something on the other side that'll be in spirit form or it'll have such energy, it'll be able to do you harm? Because I've heard it. I hear it a lot. I don't think there's many times from many people where that sort of an understanding isn't a question mark in their exploration. Some, it's a belief system of fear. If I explore to that next level, something's going to bite me. Something's going to have a grip on my soul. And that's just how, well, you wouldn't believe that in the first place if nobody ever told you that was true. You know, if you were a little kid and you're about to walk through a room and it's just a little room, you know, you're just going to run into the other room. You don't know what you're doing. And your mom says, don't, that's dangerous. You're going to think about that. But if they go, hey, but if nobody's doing it and you're just able to run in through that room, who knows what it'll be? Who knows what it'll be? But they haven't been there. Because to be every single one of us there is someplace different. It's almost semantic. It's almost like the understandings of metaphysics. In many respects, it's a knowing, but in each of us, that knowing is going to be slightly different because it doesn't apply, perhaps, in the dimension that each one of us lives within, which, by the way, it might be a totally separate dimension, which is unique unto each and every consciousness. I mean, but that's why there's so many dimensions, because we can jump and use parts. But what if we are all like records, and each record is its own dimension on top of the fact that it has dimensions within it? Because I can talk at the same time you're talking, at the same time the next person's talking. You have three records on top of each other, all playing different music, but they're all doing it at the same time. So is that a dimensional understanding? Would that be considered, you know, something, you know, on a conscious level? Just a second, folks. These phone lines are going nutty. One moment. I'm sorry about that, folks. Once in a while I'm here all alone, I have to answer phones. So, besides, it's a good time for a break for just a minute. I want to get back to that notion of fear. Because it is so limiting. And each of us develops our own understanding of what we're capable of through the elimination of fear. Whatever fear that you have, whatever phobia that you have, it has to go. And if you want to look at the origin of it all, it's probably the fear of death or being disconnected. And I would encourage everybody to get rid of that, because you're not disconnected, and that really limits when you want to connect, you want to go to the next level, and you're meditating, and you reach that level high. You know, when you see a man flying to the sun, he's going to get scorched because it's so bright and there's so much power there that your skull's going to get burned out of you, and you're going to, you know, burn up. You know, there's so much spirit and there's so much energy there that you're going to burn up. I don't know about that. I really don't. There's some things I question even that I learn, because I understand that anything that places a limitation on my experience or my expression that limits me in any way is probably not going to be good for me. But if I listen to it like that, like I've listened to so many things growing up, and I allow it to be something I live with, then it's going to hurt me. And one of the things that limits me is the idea that if I go too far in my meditative practices, that the boogeyman's going to come out and rip out my skull. And I've passed that. But even still, there are areas which scare me. Why? Because I haven't been there. Why? Am I still afraid? Why? Well, I could sit back and I could give you the exact answer. But each and every time when I'm afraid, I fold into the understanding that there's nothing to fear. There's only something to learn. And Dr. Brandon said that fabulously in her last program. That's that really eliminates the fear of it, because if you realize you're a perfect being and nothing can hurt you except your belief system within it, then you don't have to give it the power over you in that way. That means you can say, it's not strong enough to hurt me, so I can investigate it. Or, it's just like me. It's energy. It moves through me. Whatever understanding you want to come to. But you move through it, and the next time you might find another block. Something's going to hit you, and it's going to make you a little bit afraid. Maybe at that time you've done something wrong, or you've treated people really badly, and you feel negative for the day. And you just when you get to that point of meditation, you really have to get rid of that junk for about 5 minutes before you step into a meditation and go to that higher level. A lot of people almost use meditation as a way to reach balance, which, by the way, I think, folks, balance is makes you smarter. I think a person who's balanced is smarter than the man who's got an IQ off the charts. Balance. What's it mean? What's the word smart mean, anyways? A smart man, he's got a real high IQ, but he sucks in respect that his life's going down. He has no family. He doesn't know how to treat people. He has really no heart, but he's building the bridge across the street. He's got all the money in the world. Well, is that smart? Would we consider that smart? The rationale for IQ, the rationale for intelligent quotient is, I think, outdated. I really do. By the way, don't they say Jesus Christ had the highest IQ? Or Leonardo da Vinci? I know a few actors, they say, that they're out there that have high IQs. But what's that all mean? I think that knowledge, in many ways, in the future, will be a product of just retrieving it from some outside center and then applying it to whatever expression we want to do in the moment. Because we really won't, it'll be retained within us and still be a process of pulling on it. I think ultimately you are knowledge. Okay, you can't separate knowledge from anything else. Sooner or later, you can't separate knowledge from light, from sound. It's all one thing, isn't it? This is a poem written about death. It's called The Funeral Blues. It's my W.H. Auden. I love this poem. I heard this poem first in Four Weddings and a Funeral, and it emotionally touched me then. I came, the way it was read, the timing in the movie, but Four Weddings and a Funeral, when this poem was read, I was really touched that somebody could write such words reflecting so much pain. I'm sure you can all probably remember it if you watch that movie. And it goes, stop all the clocks, cut off the telephone, prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone, silence the pianos, and with muffled drum, bring out the coffin, let the mourners come. Let aeroplanes circle, moaning overhead, scribbling on the sky the message, he is dead. Put crepe boughs round the white necks of public doves. Let the traffic policemen wear black cotton gloves. He was my north, my south, my east, my west, my working week, my Sunday's rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The stars are not wanted now. Put out every one. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood. For nothing now can ever come to any good. Now, I wish I could have recited that as beautifully as it was done in the movie, but I cannot. So, check out that poem. It is called Funeral Blues by W.H. Auden. This is a poem that was posted to Authors Inkwell. I feel like just jumping up for joy because there's so few that are actually posted there. I think that we've got to really encourage people through this network to do some other creative. Maybe the forum, the fact that it's just poetry, limits a lot of us from expressing creativity. I don't know other ways or forums on the internet that may work, but please send in your suggestions. If there's ways that we can provide, you know, systems where people can express themselves in new and interesting ways, and we have the opportunity to explore that in the future, you know, comments are always welcome. And when you send me emails correcting my mistakes, I could kiss you. Because the fact that you do that means that you're out there and you're concerned about how everything runs smoothly, and so am I. And I really like to get those mistakes corrected. So please do send me your emails and your thoughts and your opinions at doug@bloginservice.com, should you ever wish to. This poem, posted on Authors Inkwell, is entitled Releasing Burden. And it was written by Robbie Thomas. A Link to Heaven. A Link to Heaven, a show on our network. He is the host, Robbie Thomas. And it goes, I seek refuge among my ruins. This fallacy of nothingness surrounds me. Of what do I learn if one is blinded without sight? Torture me no more. Leave my side pungent distress. The seed of everlasting does dwell. Procrastinate no reluctance in me. For now blossom is in full bloom. I grow to be all I can. Amen. That was fantastic. It was shockingly good, in fact. My hat's off, Robbie. I really enjoyed that poem. I'm glad I got a chance to share it here. Now let's move on to a couple of other topics that I've actually thought were interesting. Things to explore. Ideas to explore, to open up the mind, to make us wonder, to make us think. I love that. When I get a chance to, because most of the time I'm working, 80, 90-hour work weeks. But I'm usually working and doing something at the same time, or three things at the same time, so I get a lot done. And I still get a chance to think once in a while, too. But I want to first let everybody know about the great new music artists on our radio network. My goodness, there are such quality songs there. I'm not saying this to just pump up our egos here, because bear in mind there's only 100 songs in the rotation, 102 songs, I believe. And in our case, we have to go with music that is not, you know, doesn't have any major label behind it, because we just don't play it. We don't pay spin rights. We don't, like most radio stations, they'll pay a 25 cents a spin or a 50, I don't even know what the rate is. But we don't. We want to go with new artists. We want to promote them as we allow them. You know, they allow us to play their music, and it's, you know, we win, they win, everybody wins. That's a great system, by the way. You ever get a business proposition, you want to make it work, make sure both sides win. Because then it'll move forward. And in this way, we have some just fabulous music that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Well, you might, but not all of it, and probably not much of it. But we hope that you check out their websites, check out their music, because some of their music, some of my favorite music I found on BBS radio. And I'm a stickler. I grew up a singer. I know you can't hear it in my voice, but I grew up a singer. I sang middle school and high school and university, and I wasn't bad. I wasn't bad in my time. So I don't have the ears. My ears aren't perfect. You know, in personology, if you don't have the perfect ridge, you know, if you have knots on your ears, ridges going towards the inside of your ear, then that stops like a perfectly spherical or round or a structure that could hear something perfect. Imagine, you know, one of those things you put your ear. Well, it's round. There's no ridges. So once you do that, it kind of distorts the sound, right? Well, this is the assumption. And so that hearing, your pitch may be off. So then so a face reader might look at the ear and be able to tell you whether you have you're musically inclined or not based on the ridges around your ear. Well, I have, you know, my ears aren't that delicate looking, so, but I do have what I think is the best music of all the music we've received, and I'd sure love your feedback. I don't know how I'm doing over here putting on the new music. I know we've got thousands of listeners all over the place, but, or millions of hits a day, I don't know, our website statistics have just gone mad, and I'm so excited about that. I mean, we're blowing them all away. But I don't know what music is good, really. I mean, I don't want to be the sole judge here, so help me out. Give me your feedback. You know, this is Doug Newsom, the cosmic poet. Who else did you think was in charge of the music? So please, help me here. What was one of the topics I wanted to discuss? I have so many little things that go running in my brain. But this was another important thing that ran in my brain. My recent meditations. I've been meditating very hard for about a year, and I reached an awakening, and I meditated even harder thereafter. And my meditations were not, I don't say hard, they were beautiful. I mean, I love it. But I lost touch with it. And you always want to go back, and you do want to spend time meditating. But I meditated in a unique fashion. Different again. Works every way. I reached a spiritual awakening this way, I think. Well, mind you, I wasn't meditating at the time. I was stepping out of the shower, so what can I? It doesn't apply. But my meditations, I did it with my eyes open. Ever heard of such a thing? For me, it was almost paramount. I was almost afraid to close my eyes because I figured I wouldn't capture what I was really supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? Well, that's a fact. And I never developed that or never really felt what it would be good for. And I meditated a few days ago with my eyes closed for a change. Really exciting. Because there's so many different levels to where you can push and prod. I felt that now I could, have more fun meditating now than I normally do, because there's a whole new arena for me to go out there and meditate to. What you can do with your eyes closed, you don't do with your eyes open. When you meditate with your eyes open, it's almost like you see energy and patterns and without a third eye per se. You're actually using the vision that you have. But I have very good vision. They tell me I have 2016 or 2012. I mean, it's lower than the lowest. I've never even heard of 2016, but from what they tell me when I was growing up, it was 2012. So I don't know if that's really that great. Maybe the doctor got it wrong. But I always meditate with my eyes open. And when I had, the way I would envision energy, you know, you've got to construct it, I'd utilize what's around me with my eyes to see something there that actually later expanded and became, you know, lights and pushes and prods within my brain that functioned to allow me to make, you know, further understandings or cognitive assumptions, let's put it that way. There's no real one right way, one wrong way. There's 6, 7, 8 billion ways. And there can never be two duplicate ways. Everybody's talking about cloning these days. And we're going to have the duplicate. There's not even two duplicate snowflakes. There's no two duplicate subatomic particles. Quantum. Particles. Let's see. What are the odds of there to, you know, I don't know if we've even thought along those lines, but I don't believe there's two identical anything anywhere, and yet we're all one. Why would we want to replicate ourselves? We don't do that in nature per se, an identical replication. We want variety. One moment, folks. PBS Radio, Doug speaking. I believe that show will start in about half an hour. Thank you. Call back then, please. Yep. I do appreciate it. Well, Michael Goger's got another fan. I tell you, he's got a lot of fans. I love it when Michael Goger's on. He's such great energy. He's got such great energy. And it's all loving energy. And you feel that. You can't help but feel it. You know, when you're a younger boy, you feel that kind of a... But it's not that. It's a real strengthening, real caring, a real, you know, the sort of love that exists among people that care for each other. And when you get older and you appreciate that, and I'm now approaching my last part of my late 30s, so I do appreciate it. And I feel that energy, and that's how I basically decide what I want in my life or my answers to my questions, is I really feel the energy of the answer. If you want to know whether something's good or bad for you, just feel how you feel about it. How do I feel? Do I feel a bit sicker right now that I ask myself this question? Well, you really got to do it when you're, you know, there's no distractions, but feel the understanding. You don't need to read it to get it. Knowledge, can we gain knowledge through feeling? I mean, if you could feel all the answers, could we feel all the answers rather than be told all the answers? When I mean feel it, I mean just feel it. Could we actually ask our sensory understanding of the how it makes us feel to give us an answer rather than getting it any other traditional way? Can you see any examples where we do that? Of course. We just don't seem to apply it to knowledge in the traditional sense. But we're capable of it. We just got to use that sense. Every show, I think I've probably touched upon the understanding of what's to come. how people are going to evolve, consciousness, the shift in consciousness, the fact that we're either going to get smarter or people are going to awaken. My whole goal is the understanding of waking people up to their own true potential. And it's not, it's just, it goes beyond the understanding of true potential. It's the true knowledge of that potential. The true knowledge of what they really are. So in every show, I touch upon this topic. And one of the topics that I probably favored is the 2012 idea and what's going to happen. And you can ask so many people this question from one end of the spiritual spectrum to the other. And you're going to get quite a diverse array of beliefs. Except recently, I see a shift in the beliefs, changing their understanding that things are going to be more harmonious as an outcome at that time period, and we're going to make it through without either catastrophe or something. And I feel that. Because does anybody right now feel they're going to die in 6 years or whatever time it's going to be? Do you? Do you feel it? Everybody, every single spiritual person would say to themselves, you know when you're going to die because you are the person who decides when you're going to die. You know, nobody dies unless you want to die, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, does anybody out there right now feel, okay, can I, based on that feeling, do I feel like I'm going to die? Can I, based on that feeling, give myself a higher level intuitive understanding or knowledge than I can rely upon? I think that's what we're all doing. And I'm going to try to do that. Because I don't feel like I'm going to die. And I don't feel like anybody out there is really going to die. I think people, you're all going to live. I feel that. So my belief system is that people are going to, and this is mine, I can carry on with all the different separate opinions out there because we could go through the gambit, and there's a lot of them. It always shocks me a little bit. Shocks me because if there is such a diversity of belief system, what's the ultimate outcome going to be? Because it's a factor of all of our belief systems that makes the outcome, because it's all just belief, isn't it? All just power of intention. We're all just thoughts magnified, personified in 3D, in physicality. That's what we are. So, what's the outcome going to be? What are we all going to make it become? That's the uncertainty principle, by the way. That's where the question mark always lies in that, because we always have the ability to change our mind, change the way we feel, change the outcome. Is every outcome that certain? Is there any certainty to any outcome? Probably there's only one certainty. You know, from whence you come, you go. Where... That's probably a certainty. I believe there is going to be a 100th monkey dynamic. Spread the word. Let's all get on our blue monkey costumes and run out there and tell the world of this dynamic. It's important to really kind of vibrate to. I go to this point because I believe that if we feel this could be the answer, it's a real plausibility. And I think more people tune to this understanding because it's friendlier. Hey, if you're going to pick an outcome, might as well be a good one, right? Well, my outcome comes with the understanding that there's going to be a dynamic where people are going to awaken to a higher resonating quality within themselves that is going to give them a connection they didn't seem to have previously. That knowing connection, that knowingness, that thing that everybody seems to be doing around this world right now. I'm spiritual, I just had a near-death experience. Me, I just saw a UFO, got this bright light, got beamed in the head. I just sat under a tree for 6 months and woke up. Me, I didn't do a thing. I was eating peanuts. Dog barked. Bingo. You hear everybody starting to change, become a little bit more aware, bingo, in a split second, to gain something that
100 years ago, they talked about 20, 30 years of study before you gained a kundalini or you gained a spiritual. What is a spiritual? Well, there might be levels of it. Maybe not. How can there be levels? There's a 6 billion. So there's going to be 6 billion levels, isn't there? 6 billion different ways or 6 billion different kundalinis. I believe that. But I believe it's going to occur. I believe we're all going to be hit with something, and then based on the application of that something, which is what a spiritual person does, and instantly he becomes, you know, he is, but now he's got a, you know, with application, he really starts to gain knowledge of what that means. So just like what's going to happen then, people are going to gain that sort of an appreciation and a knowledge to them, so it'll be different. But we're all going to be hit. We're all going to get that. We're all going to get it. We're finally going to get it. We're finally going to think differently, because we're going to have that sense of a knowing. And I think it's going to be caused because there's going to be enough people that are going to feel that connection at some point at that time where it's just going to go, whoosh, and 100th monkey dynamic's going to occur and everybody's going to think like that. Or at least you're going to know. You can shut it off. Look, I know doesn't mean I have to do anything about it. Right? Doesn't mean I have to think that it's, even though I know it's true, doesn't mean I have to, you know, I can still shut it off from my understanding. You really can. But I think everybody's going to gain a quantum leap, an evolutionary leap in human awareness. And it's going to be brought on by a real feeling of love. It's going to make them, it's going to be love that does it. It's going to be the love of everything that wants it. Our planet, our solar system, our higher spirits, our extra-dimensional friends. Everybody wants to see humanity reach a higher level, a connected feeling, a knowing that if you cut something outside of your thinks outside of yourself, you really only cut yourself awareness. And I think it's coming. And I think it's going to come in around that time period, and that's what everything's alluding to. And when we all become of like understanding in that way, what can't we do? What beautiful future can't we create? We can create paradise because we know all we have to do is think about it. And it will become a reality in our lives, in our lives. That's where I hope we're evolving as a collective, and I think we are, and that's the mission anyways, is to show people tools that they can have fun exploring so they can find that unlock, that little magic for themselves, so they can find bliss and happiness in their lives, which is really what we all really, really, really should focus more on is seeing more bliss, even in the lives around us. Because there's chaos around you, you step out of it. Because there might be, generally there's going to be some chaos inside, unless you're really, really strong. So, and this way, it kind of puts order to that chaos, that love. You know, and the world around you gets affected by it. Spread the message. BBS Radio. It should be a part of everyone's daily life. I hope that you make my show a part of your weekly schedule, because I really do care. I really do love you all. I am here for you. I've always felt an affinity to want to embrace everybody in a unique way, because you're each unique. I hope I'm doing the best job I can. I always appreciate advice and feedback. My heart's out to you. You're in my prayers. I love you. We'll see you next week. Same time, 8 p.m., The Cosmic Poet Show. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.